Then they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him, and the inscription over the charge read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." And in the same way, the chief priests, along with the other scribes, were also mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, and he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we might see and believe." And those who were crucified with him also taunted him. My Lord, my love, is crucified. How can we comprehend the majesty and the mystery that is Good Friday? Jesus hangs on a cross, dying for us all. How can we make sense of his sacrifice? Many theologians have offered explanations, and many academics will go on to explain what precisely God was doing in these moments on the cross. But tonight, I would like to offer just one word to make sense of it all. Love. Love in all its mystery, love in all its majesty, is what Jesus expressed on the cross. And tonight, as we hear the story of his passion and his death from beginning to the end, it is love that I see at every turn. We start in the garden with Jesus predicting Peter's betrayal. We begin with what seems like the furthest thing from love, a friend turning his back. And yet here we see the love of Jesus. For this is love. Not simply that the disciples believed in Jesus, but that Jesus believed in the disciples. This is the patient love of Jesus. Knowing their capacity, knowing their tendency to misunderstand, knowing they will desert him, Jesus still loves his disciples and believes in them, calling them to follow him on the road to the cross. We see the love of Jesus continue in the garden. See, Jesus is so grieved by his impending death that he begs for mercy. He says, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible, so please remove this cup from me." But this is the faithful love of Jesus. For even as Jesus is deeply grieved, even unto death, yet he surrenders himself to his Abba's will, trusting God's intent as he had trusted so many times before. Love. Love can sometimes seem like a soft word, a thing for romance and small children and emotional women. But in the garden, the strong love of Jesus comes through again and again. For this is love, that when Jesus and his friends are betrayed, in that moment when Judas comes and betrays with a kiss, surrounded by a crowd of priests and scribes and officers and police and elders, in that moment when the most powerful people in his world threaten him, this is love. That Jesus does not arm himself or his disciples. He does not retaliate. No, this is the strong love of Jesus, trusting in the power of God, trusting in what he knows will be his nonviolent act of self-sacrifice, Jesus intercedes for peace, stops his disciples from wielding a weapon, and steps into his future with some sort of confidence. This is love. That Jesus, knowing that his best friend was standing in the courtyard betraying him, knowing that Peter was standing there saying, "I don't know this man that you are talking about," that Jesus stood tall. That Jesus, threatened by rumors that had somehow solidified into facts, taunted by bullies, threatened by liars and by traitors, Jesus stood tall. Jesus, totally alone, totally vulnerable, puts up no defense. This is the honest love of God, standing before all the powers of his world, speaking his truth, standing his ground without defensiveness and without fear. This is love. That Jesus then, having said his piece, having spoken his truth to power, he just stops talking and lets the people respond however they will respond. That Jesus, the one by whom all creation came into being, does not take control of the situation or manipulate the people in his world. No, this is the steadfast love of Jesus that stands strong and secure regardless of the crowd's whims or the soldier's abuse. This is love that stays steadfast through it all, intent on seeing us through to the very end. This is love, Philippians says, that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave and being born into human likeness. And being found in human form, that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the surprising love of Jesus, that the one who was the king of all kings did not rule with an iron grip. He did not punish those in debt. He did not tally rights and wrongs and keep a ledger of who owed him what. No. This is not a king who takes delight in punishing us from some distant heavenly throne room. No, this is a king who would rather die than have a single person think that anything could ever separate them from the love of God. This is love, the courageous love of solidarity with you and with me. For Jesus is never closer to us than when we are in our moments of deepest suffering. And he is walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death right by our side. For Jesus, suffering on the cross, the worst pain imaginable, catches my attention when he doesn't accept any wine to dull the pain. For Jesus, he doesn't want any anesthetic or any painkiller to help him escape from his bodily suffering. And so he feels every bit of the agony of this death. Because this is his act of courageous love and solidarity with you and with me. That Jesus would rather feel the full depth of the experience of suffering than have any of us think for a moment that he values our suffering less than his own comfort on the cross. For this Jesus is the same one who walks beside everyone who is ever broken today. Teenagers grieving the senseless loss of life in their high schools, wondering why us and God are you here? Women waiting to be mothers, grieving every period as it comes, wondering when, if a child will come. Men unable to provide for their families, wondering where to turn. Anyone who has ever been overlooked or forgotten. When you see those people, you will see Jesus suffering with them, walking before them and behind them and right alongside them. For on the cross, Jesus went to the full depth of his own pain, of his own isolation, of his own agony and grief and brokenness and shame. Jesus felt it all the way to the bottom, all the way to the bone, so that no matter what you experience, no matter how bad it gets, you might always know that Jesus has been there, that he understands what you're going through, and that he is on your side. This is love. John says, God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And he says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. My friends, this is Jesus. And this is his patient, faithful, strong, honest, steadfast, surprising, courageous love of solidarity for you and for me. This is love, through and through. Thanks be to God. Amen.